Amen. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms. Psalm 96. Some of you seem a little confused by that. We're going to take a little break from the Gospels. Tonight, we're going to look in Psalm 96, and then next week will be our candlelight service. Then we have one more Sunday before the new year, and it's just amazing how fast that it's gone. It seems like it was just a blink, but so we've just got a few more weeks, and then it'll be Vision Night service. Vision Night's one of my favorite services that we have all year, and I'm excited about that, looking forward to that as we look back and give thanks for what God's done this year, and we look forward to the things that God has in store for the coming year. And sometimes we'll say things like, if the Lord should delay his coming, he's not going to delay it. He's going to come at exactly the right time. He knows when that is. And if we have time, we'll go through another year, 2019. And I imagine if we make it that long, it'll be just like this. We'll say, I can't believe this year's gone by so fast. But I love Vision Night, Vision Casting, looking forward to the new year and the things that God's put on my heart. And I'm excited about that. But before we get to that, and Vision Night doesn't lend a lot of time to look back, so I want to take a couple of Sunday nights just to remind you of what we've looked at and the journey we've taken through the Scriptures this past year. It's so hard for me because I preach Sunday morning, and then it's time to get ready to preach Sunday night, and then it's time to get ready for Wednesday night. And for me personally, it's hard to meditate on what we've studied and what we've learned because I'm always looking ahead. And I think it's really important for us to meditate on the things that we've studied. And you think about Mary, how she pondered those things and kept them in her heart. That's meditation. And by the way, meditation isn't just for the mystics out there. It's not just for the Hindus and the rest of them to meditate and people doing yoga. That's a Bible thing. Okay, and what they're doing is they can meditate that stuff within themselves all they want, but when a Christian takes the Word of God and meditates on it and ponders on the things of the Word of God, that will make a real difference in your life. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not advocating, Brother Bill Don, that you go home and sit cross-legged with your fingers and do some ohms or anything like that. Though I would, if he does, I'd like to see video of it. That would be awesome. That's not the kind of meditation I'm talking about. I'm talking about just thinking on and ruminating on, chewing on over and over the things that we've studied from God's Word. It's so important that we do that. So I want to take just a little bit of time this week and in a couple of weeks to do that. And so we started this year with our theme, For His Glory. And that really was born out of something that God just kept bringing to my heart last year. And in 1 Chronicles 16, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to Jerusalem, that's where we get the basis for Psalm 96. David wrote these words as they rejoiced in bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And the Ark of the Covenant was special. It represented the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant at the Holy of Holies is where it stayed. And when the Day of Atonement came, Yom Kippur, when that day came and the blood was sprinkled, God's Spirit would come down. The glory of the Lord would come and be seated on that Ark of the Covenant. It represented God's glory for His people Israel. And so it's so special. It was so important. It was such an awesome day of worship and the sacrifices that were made and the praising of God and all the things that went on. And the Spirit of God moved in such a mighty way that day. And that's where Psalm 96 was born out of. So keeping that in mind, just the glory of God coming to Israel and how much we want to see God's glory in His church, think about that as we stand together and read Psalm 96. Psalm 96 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the privilege to come and to look into your word tonight. Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts tonight. Please, Lord, use me, speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would convict hearts tonight. Lord, as we look back and consider the things that you've shown us from your word, I just pray that you would bring those things to our remembrance tonight and in the days that come ahead. As we finish out this year, Lord, that we would be mindful of the things that you've shown us. Lord, that we would be convicted about the changes that you wanted to bring about in our lives, Lord, and convict us about the places where we've fallen short. Lord, help us to have a heart that desires to bring you glory. Lord, give us a spirit that wants to strive for excellence for your glory. And Father, please just work in our hearts. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. I know that we fall short, but Lord, we want to do more for you, more for your glory. We want our faith to grow. We want to abound in your work and in your love more and more. And so, Lord, please help us. May your spirit move among us. And please help me, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, please be seated. You might remember we introduced this theme, For His Glory, back in January last year. We spent some time going through Exodus and just looking at those manifestations of God's glory in the Old Testament. And when you look through the book of Exodus and other places in the Old Testament, but particularly there, God was doing great things. When he brought the Israelites out of Egypt, the Spirit of God came on display. His glory was shown over and over and over again. They saw the glory of God. They saw the brightness of God. They saw the cloud, the thunders and the lightnings. And God manifests himself in a very visible, very audible way. And those things were there, and we studied that. And it's important for us to get that, because God's glory works a little differently today. This morning, we don't see the Spirit of God here. We don't see thunderings and lightnings on the mountain and things like that. But it doesn't change the fact that his glory is present with us today, because his Spirit is in us today. Amen. And so his Spirit is in us. His Spirit has empowered his church. And so we need to see his glory. And here's what happens when you see his glory, because after we spent some time going through Exodus and just looking at those times when the Spirit of God was manifest, the glory of God was shown on the earth, we then spent some time going through a series on declaring his glory. Because when you see the glory of God, you have to do this. You have to worship at his feet, but you can't help but tell other people what you've seen and heard. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Friends, there ought to be a burning in our bones. You remember Jeremiah at one time said, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't preach anymore. I said, I won't speak anymore in his name. But he said his word was inside of me. It was like a fire burning inside of me, and I couldn't contain it. I have to tell people the word of God. And it ought to be that way for us. And so many times we get a little scared. And we get a little nervous, and we're afraid we might do it wrong, or maybe we're afraid of what people might think. And whatever reason, we're too scared to be a witness to somebody else. Dear friends, please listen to me. If we see the glory of God, if God opens our eyes and we see and behold his glory, we cannot but speak of his glory. We can't hold it back when we've truly seen him and seen his glory. Everything that we do in our lives ought to be for the glory of God. You'll remember 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And we do a lot of stuff from day to day, don't we? Most of you have a pretty regular routine. You wake up in the morning and you go through your routine. I hope you brush your teeth. I hope at some point you put some deodorant on and you go through those things. Some of you eat breakfast every day. Others of you don't eat breakfast ever. And everybody's got their different thing. But we go through our day-to-day routines. But I'm telling you that everything we do, whether small or great, ought to be done to the glory of God. I love the fact that he says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, because I really believe this. I believe that if you and I can control our stomach and our belly isn't our God, if we can learn to eat and drink to the glory of God, we can learn to do anything to the glory of God. I believe that. I believe that if we can have self-control in those areas, if we can keep those things to the honor of God, I believe that he can help us and train us. We can bring our bodies into subjection to the will of God, and he can use us. We can do everything for his glory. We ought to do everything for the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 10:17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So many people in America today are all wanting the attention on themselves. This is the selfie generation. There are so many people who are doing anything they can, go to great lengths to be YouTube famous. We live in a society today where everybody wants to be seen, everybody wants to be heard, everybody wants the world to know that they're there. And I want you to understand something, dear friends. We ought to have a desire, not for the world to know that we're here, but for the world to know that Jesus Christ is here. Our goal ought to be to lift him up, to magnify him, to glorify him, to put the spotlight on him. And so our heart should be for his glory. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And I want to tell you something. We have no reason to glory except for in the cross of Jesus Christ. I am nothing. I can do nothing. I will be nothing without him. And so when we consider all those things, we look at Psalm 96. David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back in. There are musicians playing. The choirs are singing. They are rejoicing and dancing. And there's a tremendous celebration. The sacrifices will be made by the tens of thousands. Friends, this was a huge event in Israel's history. And there was much made of God's Ark coming back into Jerusalem. And his response his declaration to the people was, look at verse 1, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. So as they come in, he says to the people, sing to the Lord. It ought to be a natural response when you've seen the glory of God to worship the Lord. I don't know if you all enjoyed the choir specials and the kids singing this morning, but I loved it. And I'm not saying that because I was singing, but I love these songs that magnify the Lord, that worship the Lord, that lift up his name. And it's a call to rejoice. Rejoice. Everyone rejoice because Christ has come. He was born to save. Born to save. And so we want to rejoice in him and sing unto him. And I just want to challenge you guys again. I know you guys. I know some of you just don't like to sing. Some of you are worried about what your neighbor thinks about your singing. But I want to tell you something. When you see the glory of God, you stop caring about what the people around you think. There is joy in your heart, and you can't help but let it out of your mouth. Amen. Just quick poll. How many of you just feel like you can't sing very well? Would you raise your hand? Keep them up for just a second. Go ahead, keep yours up. Yeah. Okay. I won't ask how many of you think you can sing well. I don't want to tempt you to sin, but almost everybody in the room, the vast majority of you feel like you can't sing. But I'm telling you that you are without excuse before God. God has called all of us to sing before the Lord. He doesn't say here, sing if you can carry a tune in a bucket. He doesn't say that. He says, sing unto the Lord. Sing a new song. Sing all the earth. Everyone sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Why? Because we want to show forth his salvation from day to day. We want to let the world know that we have a Savior, Christ the Lord. We want to let the world know. And one of the ways we do that is by worshiping Him. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Verse 3 says, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Declare His glory among the heathen. That's really been kind of the focus, the central theme of everything we've done this year, that He is glorious, and we want to let the world know that He's glorious. Listen, there are a lot of people in our community that think that they know God because their grandpa was a preacher. But I'm telling you that their lives are unchanged. They're still living in sin. They're still living in darkness. Their lives are still in shambles, and they're shattered and broken in pieces because they really don't know the Lord. And God has called us to declare His glory among the heathen. He's called us to declare His glory to everyone around us so that they might really know the Lord, because if they really knew the Lord, they'd be changed by the Lord. When you are truly born again, you're changed from the inside out. Amen. If you've had a real encounter with Jesus Christ, if you truly repented and trusted in Him, He changes who you are. Amen. So we're called to declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. People on this side of the tracks, people on that side of the tracks, people that live down in the bottoms, and people that live up on the mountain. Amen. Right? Amen. People that live in shacks, and people that live in palaces, and everyone in between need the gospel. I'm always amazed sometimes when we're out knocking on doors how there'll be well-meaning people. Oh yeah, we go to church, but you don't want to go over there. Them people, they're atheists. You don't want to go over to their house. You don't want to go over to those people over there. Them people, they're Muslims. You don't want to go talk to them. And I really don't think these people understand what we're trying to do. Our goal in evangelism is not to find people like us who believe like us that we can try to steal from their church to come to our church. Our goal in evangelism is to find lost people who need to be saved. Amen. Our goal in evangelism is to find people who don't believe the truth, to give them the truth, to declare unto them the glory of God, that even though we are sinners, Christ died for us. We want them to know the truth, that they can repent and trust Christ. I'm telling you, it's this. Every person in this world either believes in a works-based religion, works righteousness religion, or they believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only two options. That's it. Spurgeon said it this way: it's either do or done. Everybody's preaching what you need to do to be saved, but the Bible preaches that what needs to be done to be saved was done by Christ on the cross. It's done. It's finished. We give away that little booklet a lot of times that's done. And if you haven't read that little booklet, you ought to read it. And you ought to get some of them and give them to your family this Christmas. Friends, I'm telling you, it's not about what we do. It's about what was done by Jesus Christ. That's the message we want to take to the heathen among us, to declare His glory. And what a glorious thing that God Himself would become a man and die for sinners like you and I. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Look at verse 4. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. This is really good. The Lord is great. And in the same way that He's great. Now, I don't know that you and I can understand that. His glory is above the heavens. He's higher than we can imagine. He who spoke the stars into existence. He is greater than we can understand. He is holier than we can understand. He's more majestic than we can understand. He is great. That means He's awesome and He's powerful and He's big and He's glorious and He's wonderful. And He's greatly to be praised. So in the same measure that He is great, He's greatly to be praised. I'd say we're falling a little short. God is great, greater than we can understand. And if we worship Him to the maximum of our ability to worship, it's going to fall woefully short of what He's worthy of. All we can do is give all that we have of ourselves back to Him. And we ought to want to do that. We shouldn't want to hold anything back. Verse 7, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Give to the Lord. It's an amazing thing because whatever you give to God, you're going to have to get from God. You don't have anything. We've talked about this before. How many of you have given your children money so that they can buy you a Christmas present? Some of you did that growing up. You didn't have anything. You didn't have an allowance. Didn't have a job. If you were going to get somebody something, you needed dad to give you the money to give something. Listen, everything that you have comes from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything comes from him. And so whatever we have, it comes from him, and it's nothing for him to ask us to give it back. It's the least we could do. It's our reasonable service. Give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. And look at verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. You can't give God too much glory. I think it's really important. So basic. I think it's really important that we always deflect praise back to God. We ought to be encouraging to each other. But if you tell me that the sermon was good or you appreciate it, I always want to deflect that praise to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I appreciate the encouragement. I do it. It helps me. It's encouraging. But I don't want that glory. God deserves that glory. And everything that we do in our lives, we want to deflect the praise to him. Give unto him. I want you to go back, if you would, please, to verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Some of you get a little nervous when you see the Bible talk about the other gods. But don't get too nervous. Just read the next verse. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. You ought to worship God. You ought to sing praises unto him. You ought to declare his glory because he is great. He is greatly to be praised above all the gods because the other gods, they don't exist. They're only idols. Look at Isaiah 44 with me for a second. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 15. I love this passage of scripture, and man, it just jumps out to me every time I read it. Isaiah 44, 15. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. How many of you want some roast now? He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof, he maketh a god. Even his graven image, he falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Boy, isn't that good? How blind do people have to be to worship idols? I told you before about the Hindu man I met in Muskogee that time, and he kept telling me, I kept trying to preach the gospel to him. How are you going to pay for your sin? Oh, I pray every day. But how are you going to pay for your sin? You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. How are you going to deal with it? Oh, I pray every day. And finally, he said, no, let me show you. So he takes me to the back room there at the motel, and he says, look, and he's got a shrine in the corner. And he's got little, all kinds of trinkets and pictures of people. And he goes in there and prays, I don't know how many times a day. And he's got a little god there, an idol. And I told you, I don't have much of an arm, Brother Dean, but I think I could have thrown his God at least 50 yards. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. And the Bible's telling us here that these people, they go into the woods, they cut down a tree, they chop up the wood. Part of it they make to have fire to warm their house. Part of it they have to make fire to cook on. Roast. Bake bread. And then whatever they've got left over, they carve out a god, they worship, and they bow down and pray to the god that they cut down. How blind do you have to be? I want you to understand something plainly, dear friends. All of the gods of this world are idols. There's only one God. He's the one that made the heavens. Amen. Every other god is an idol. That's really important for us to understand, because there are people right here in our community that are worshiping other gods. And sometimes we get a little nervous when we start to deal with the Muslim, or we start to deal with the Hindu, or we start to deal with somebody that's a different religion or a different culture. And I need you to understand something. They are blind. And they're worshiping an idol. And we don't need to be nervous about that. We just need to tell them the truth. Because at the end of the day, they're worshiping something that cannot save them. And we know the only true God and Savior who created everything, who became a man, lived a sinless life, and died for us and rose again. They're all idols. And they're blinded because they can't see. So we go back to our text. All the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Verse 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Worship and fear. Worship. And fear. I think it's really important in our walk with Christ that we always strive to keep the right balance. People will tell you today that you shouldn't fear God. When it says fear, it doesn't really mean fear. It just means reverence and respect. But I'm here to tell you today that the word means fear. There is a sense of awe. There is a sense of wonder. There's a sense of reverence, of course. But it just means to fear. But that's balanced with the fact that through Christ we can crawl into the lap of God our Father and cry, Abba, Father. And we've got to keep the right balance. That's not so easy to do. Because sometimes I think we get a little too casual with the Lord. We get a little too comfortable, where we just kind of aren't as reverent and fearful as we ought to be. Other times we're too afraid. We're too afraid to even approach unto him, and we can't do that. So we've got to have the right balance. God is just, and he's merciful, and we ought to love God, and we ought to fear God. We have to have both. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. I want you to know that everything that God has created is created for his glory. The stars in heaven literally sing the praises of God. I want you to think about this the next time you drive by a field and you see the wheat waving, or just the grasses of the field waving. They are worshiping God. When God sends a thunderstorm and the trees bow, you can just understand that they're bowing to God. Everything that he has created. Many of you have had the privilege of going to the ocean. When the sea roars, when the waves crash in, they crash into the glory of God. Everything that is on this planet gives glory to God because he created it. And it's doing what he created it to do and intended it to do. And friends, that's what he created us for, is to give him honor and glory and praise. And when we're doing what he created us for, our lives will bring him glory. Then shall the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. It's easy for us to forget, but Judgment Day is coming. We're going to give an account for every idle word that we've spoken. We're going to give an account for every wicked or lustful or lying thought. We're going to give an account for every wicked deed. We're going to give an account for every angry word. We need to remember that the Lord's coming to judge. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to judge the lost, those that are out there. But He's going to judge His people in truth. We are going to give an account before God for everything we've done in our flesh, whether it's good or bad. And we ought to remember that. I would suppose that if everyone here was honest tonight, there's things we need to repent of now. Every time I preach, God convicts me of things. See, I don't know if you guys get convicted at the preaching, but I do. We think things, we say things, we do things. We fail to think things, we fail to say things, we fail to do things. We have our sins of omission, our sins of commission, and every one of us are in a place tonight where we need to repent. I want to live for the glory of God. I want this church to move forward for the glory of God. But the church can only go as each of the members goes. That means if I'm not repentant and committed and surrendered to the Lord, I'm going to hold the church back. And the same thing is true for you. If you're not repentant, if you're not surrendered to the Lord, you will hold the church back. As we finish this year, I don't want to hold the church back. I want God to use me for His glory. It really comes down to this, Psalm 96. It's about our worship, and it's about our witness. It's about worshiping Him, singing His praises, giving unto Him, worshiping Him. And it's about our witness, declaring His glory. It's not just that we worship in here and then we keep it in here. No, we worship Him here and then we take it to them so that they can know. Do you want God to get glory from your life? Do you want God to use you to take His glory to the world out there? That starts with an obedient heart where we're humble enough to admit before God that we need to get some things right with Him. So tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you stand with me, please? As we see the glory of God in His Word, we're challenged to declare His glory among the heathen. I pray that you see it in His Word, His glory. I pray that you'll take it to this world around us. He's going to come and judge us one day. And so every time He convicts us, we need to be responsive and obedient. If He's convicting your heart about anything tonight, I plead with you, come. Come and get your heart right with the Lord tonight. It only takes a step. If we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your heart can be right with the Lord tonight. If He's convicting your heart, you come right now while we sing. Page 570.